Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Shvitat Asor Perek Gimel. This perek discusses the details of the remaining four inuim of Yom Kippur, aside from the fast, which was the topic of the last perek. As we saw in Perek Aleph, the stature of the other four inuim is debated among Rishonim. There are three major approaches, all of which are suggested by different Nosei Kelim as interpretations of the Rambam's own view. Some consider these Inuyim to be Doraita in origin, others believe them to be Midrabanan, and the opinion of the Ran is that Misaran HaKatuv LaChachamim, the concept of Inuy as encompassing more than just fasting, is Midoraita, but the specific actions which must be avoided in order to reach a state of Inuy were left for Chazal to determine. As we'll see in this perek, the source and nature of the inuyim are relevant to how the halachic details of each one are to be understood. Halacha Aleph. Asur lirchotz b'yom ha-kippurim, bein b'chamin, bein mitzonein, bein kol gufo, bein ever echad, afilu etzba ktana asur lo shita b'mayim, v'amelech v'kala rochtzin et pneihem, kala kedei shelo titkane al ba'ala, v'amelech kedei shiyere'e b'yofio, shnemar melech b'yofio techezena inecha. It is forbidden to wash any part of the body on Yom Kippur, even one finger, either in hot or cold water. A king may wash his face, based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which establishes that a king needs to have a beautiful appearance. A bride, for the first 30 days of her marriage, may wash her face in order to look attractive to her husband. The exemptions of the king and the bride are evidenced in support of the view that the entire Isser of washing on Yom Kippur is rabbinic, as the considerations which allow them to wash their faces are not sufficient to override an Isser d'oraita. But another possible understanding emerges from Halacha Bet. Mi shehaya meluchlach b'tzoa otit, rochetz mekom atinofet kedarko v'eino choshesh, umedicha isha yada achat b'mayim v'notenet pat livna. והחולה רוחץ כדרכו, ואף על פי שאינו מסוכן, וכל חייבי תפילות טובלים כדרכן, בין בתשעה באב, בין ביום הכיפורים. When a person is dirty with excrement or mud, he may wash it off his body in the ordinary manner. When a mother feeds a child, she may wash her hand first to keep the food clean. A sick patient, even a chole she'ein bo sakana, may wash as he normally does. Anyone who needs to use the mikvah for a mitzvah purpose, like a woman who is a nida or yoledet who may not be with her husband until she immerses in the mikvah, may do so both on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av when the same inuyim apply. From the four cases in this halacha, there emerges an important principle about the isser rechitza on Yom Kippur. The isser encompasses only rechitza shel ta'anug, washing for pleasure. Washing for any other purpose, like removing dirt or for a mitzvah, is simply not classified as a negation of inui. This is in stark contrast to eating and drinking, which even if done in a manner which doesn't bring pleasure, like eating a food that one doesn't especially like, is still absolutely forbidden, as it negates the inui of hunger. We'll see at the end of the perek another type of act which is considered to negate inui even when it brings no pleasure. But washing for some purpose other than pleasure is considered to have no bearing on the inui one experiences. This explains how the king and bride can wash their faces, even if the isser rechitza is midoraita. They do not wash for pleasure, but rather to fulfill a halachic requirement of appearing presentable to others. Some details about the specific cases listed here by the Rambam. If one's body is dirty in several places, and washing each one individually is burdensome, then the Mishnah Berurah rules that he may wash his entire body. May one who is sweating profusely wash off his sweat? The Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch debate this question. The Magen Avraham permits it, while the Taz forbids it, and the Mishnah Berurah recommends avoiding this in order to accommodate the more machmir position. Regarding the Chole She'ein Bo Sakana, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that he may wash only when it serves some kind of medical purpose, including general cleanliness, but not when it is only done for pleasure. And as for going to the mikveh on Yom Kippur, the Shulchan Aruch rules that nowadays, when a woman immerses in the mikveh not at the Torah-mandated time for a nida, but several days later, for reasons which we'll learn in Hilchot Isurei Bia, the tevila is not considered a mitzvah, and therefore must wait until after Yom Kippur. Note that because marital relations are forbidden on Yom Kippur in any event, this delay does not keep husband and wife separated any longer than would otherwise be the case. What about the usual morning Netilat Yadayim routine, May this be done on Yom Kippur? The Shulchan Aruch rules that it may, as this isn't rechitza shel tanug, though one should only wash the minimal amount, that is, up to the ends of the fingers. He should not wash his face as part of Nitilat Yadayim, but the Mishnah Berurah allows leaving the fingers somewhat moist in order to clean off any dirt from the face, including residue gathered in the corners of the eyes. One may perform Nitilat Yadayim in a similar manner during the day, when it is done for a mitzvah purpose, like before tefillah or birkat kohanim, or after using the bathroom before saying Asher Yatzar. Halacha Gimel. Mi shera'a keri bazman hazeh b'yom ha-kippurim, imlachu mekanech b'mapa v'dayo, v'im yaveshu oshnit lachleich, rochets mekomot ha-muluchachim bilvad u'mipalel, v'asur lo lirchots kol gufo o libo, she'en ha-tovel bazman hazeh tahor, mipnei tumat met, v'en ha-rechitza mikeri la-tfila bazman hazeh ela minhag, v'en minhag l'batel davar ha-asur, ela le'asor et ha-mutar. Velo amru sharoe keri bilele yom kippurim tovel ela keshetiknu tvila lebalei krayin ukvar biarnu shebatla takana zo. If a man sees keri on Yom Kippur, then he should wipe it off if it is still wet, and if it has dried, he may wash it off in the same way that he may wash off dirt from any part of his body. There used to be a takana, that is takanat Ezra, which we discussed in Hilchot Kriyat Shema and in Hilchot Tfila, that a baal keri must wash his entire body, or immerse in the mikveh before learning Torah or engaging in tefillah. While that takana was in effect, it was permitted for a baal keri to immerse in the mikveh on Yom Kippur in order to be able to learn Torah, including the recitation of Kriyat Shema, and in order to say the Amidah. But this takana has expired and is no longer in effect, and it is only a minhag nowadays for a baal keri to wash himself before tefillah. This custom was mentioned by the Rambam in Hilchot Tefillah Perek Dalid, and is rooted in the pasuk from Amos of Hikon Likrat Elokecha Yisrael. A minhag, as important as it is, isn't strong enough to override an isser, whether midoraita or midrabanan, and therefore nowadays even a baal keri may not wash his entire body on Yom Kippur. Halacha Dalid. Tit shehulach biyoter kedei sheyaniach adam yado alav v'tale balach luchit shim hidbik otal yado ha'acheret tidbak lalach luchit asur leshev alav lo yimalei adam kli cheres mayim v'yitztanen ba shehamayim nozlim midofno afilu klei matachot asur shema yinatzu mayim al besaro umutar litztanen beperot. If mud is wet enough that if one puts his hand on it and then touches that hand to his other hand will also become wet, then one may not sit on this mud on Yom Kippur, as the feeling of the moisture on his body is the equivalent of washing. One may not fill a pottery kli with water and use the outside of the kli to cool himself, as the water inside can penetrate the walls of the kli. One may not do this with a metal utensil either, even though no water penetrates out of it, based on a concern that water may spill out of the kli onto his body. It is permitted to cool down by holding cold fruit against one's body, even though some moisture gathers on the outside of the fruit. Halacha hei. Lokeach adam mitpachat me'erev yom ha-kippurim, v'shore ota b'mayim u'menagva ma'at, u'manicha tachat ha-begadim. Ulmachar mavira alpanav veino choshesh va'af alpi shiyesh ba kor harbe. One may soak a handkerchief in water on Erev Yom Kippur, wring out a little of the water, and put the handkerchief under some clothes to keep it moist and prevent it from drying out. Note that the soaking and wringing out may not be done on Yom Kippur itself because of the malacha of melaben. The next day he may wipe his face with it, even though it is very cold, and this is not considered a violation of rechitza. This is different from the cases in the last halacha, which are forbidden, because those cases involve a significant quantity of water, while this handkerchief has only residual moisture. Halacha vav. Haolech lakbil pnei rabo, o pnei aviv, o pnei mishu gadol menu bechokhma, o likrot bebeit hamidrash, over b'mayim ad savaro veino choshesh, v'ose mitzvah shalach lasota, v'chozer b'mayim limkomo, shim lo tatir lo lachzor eino holech, v'nimtza nichshal min hamitzvah. V'chein ha'olech lishmor perotav, over b'mayim ad savaro v'eino choshesh, uvelad shlo yotziu yideihem mitachat shulei bigdeihem, kederech she'osin b'chol. One who is walking somewhere for a mitzvah purpose, like to greet his Rebbe or father, or to learn in a Beit Midrash, may walk even in water which gets up to his neck on his way there, and may do the same on his way back. This is permitted for the sake of the mitzvah, and is permitted on the way back as well, just so that a person will not refrain from doing the mitzvah in the first place. One is similarly permitted to walk up to his neck in water in order to get to his field and guard his produce, though it is unclear from the text of the halacha if in this case he may do the same on the way back. In all these cases, while one is walking in the water, he should keep his hands inside his clothing, so that it doesn't look like he is enjoying the exposure to water as he would on another day. This concludes the discussion of Ruchitza, and Halacha Zayin moves to the prohibition of Ni'ilat HaSandal. Asur lin'ol min al v'sandal afilu b'raglo achat, u'mutar latzeit b'sandal shel sha'am v'shel gome v'chayotzei behem, v'chorech adam beged al raglav v'yotzei bo. Sharei koshi ha'aretz magia l'raglo, u'margish shuv yachif. Hatinokot, af al pi shein mutarin ba'achila u'shtiyah u'chitza v'sicha, mon'in otan mimin'al v'sandal. One may not wear a shoe or a sandal even on one foot, but he may go out in a sandal made from reeds or of cork. One may wrap clothing around his feet and go out in this manner, because he feels the hardness of the ground beneath his feet and has the sensation of being barefoot. Even though young children are allowed to eat, drink, and wash on Yom Kippur, they should not wear shoes or sandals. The Magen Mishnah explains that while the first activities are necessary for the child's proper growth and development, wearing shoes is not, and therefore the mitzvah of chinuch can begin at a younger age for ni'ilat sandal. The custom is for children to observe this inui from as early as age 6 or 7. The Shulchan Aruch, following the conclusion of several Rishonim, including the Rif and the Rush, forbids wearing on Yom Kippur any shoe made of leather, or even covered with leather on the outside, but he permits wearing any other type of shoe. However, the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan accept the view of other Rishonim, among them the Rambam, as he clearly implies in this halacha, that any shoe with a hard sole should not be worn on Yom Kippur, as one does not have the sensation of being barefoot and does not feel the hardness of the ground beneath his feet. In modern times, when very comfortable shoes are made from a variety of non-leather materials, it is difficult to limit this inui of ni'ilat sandal to leather shoes alone. While modern poskim accept that one who wishes to be lenient may rely upon the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, they generally feel that it is proper to wear slippers or similarly thin-soled footwear on Yom Kippur. Halacha Chet. Mutar l'chol adam lin'ol et ha-sandal machmat akrav v'chayotzei ba, kedei shelo tishachenu. V'chaya mutarat lin'ol et ha-sandal mishum tzina kol shloshim yom. V'acholek chayotzei ba, af al pi she'en sham sakana. One may wear shoes or sandals to protect himself from the bite of a scorpion or similar dangerous pests. A woman who gave birth in the last 30 days may wear shoes to protect herself from the coldness of the ground, and similarly for any sick patient, even a cholesh she'en bo sakana. Just as with regard to rechitza, this halacha indicates that ni'ilat sandal is only forbidden when it is done for pleasure, in this case the pleasure of protecting one's feet from the ground. Aside from the cases listed here, the Ramah permits wearing leather shoes in the rain only while walking to the Beit Knesset. They must be taken off upon arrival. And the Aruch HaShulchan similarly allows wearing shoes when it is very cold outside, to the point that one who goes out barefoot risks getting sick. If the walking paths are very muddy, the Mishnah Berurah allows wearing shoes in order to protect his feet from the mud. While the two prohibitions we've learned about so far in this parak, rechitza and ni'ilat sandal, are limited to cases where they provide some kind of pleasure, the next one, which is the subject of halacha tet, is quite different. Asur lasuch miktzat gufo kechol gufo, bein tzicha shel tanug, bein tzicha sheina shel tanug, vim haya chole, af api she'en bo sakana, o sheyesh bo chatatin brosho, sach kedarko ve'eino choshesh. One may not spread oil, even on a small part of his body. This is forbidden even if it provides no pleasure. However, if a person is sick, even a cholesh she'en bo sakana, or if he has sores or lesions on his head, then he may anoint these as usual without reservation. Why is sicha forbidden even when it provides no pleasure, unlike rechitza, which is only forbidden when it provides pleasure? The Rambam doesn't clarify. Some achronim, like the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, believe this distinction is based on a physical difference between the acts, in that spreading oil over the body is more enjoyable and brings greater hanah to the individual than just running water over the body. But other achronim think that there is a conceptual halachic distinction between rechitza and sicha. One of the sources in the Gemara of the isser of sicha on Yom Kippur is the pasuk from Tehillim of Vatavo kamayim bikirbo v'chashemen ba'atzmotav, which compares the way the body is saturated by water, which a person drinks, to the way it is saturated by oil with which a person anoints his limbs. Based on this pasuk, the Gemara learns the principle of sicha kishtia. Anointing is the equivalent of drinking, which is relevant in other areas of halacha as well, like what may be done with oil of truma. So whereas rechitza and nilata sandal are forbidden because of the pleasure they provide, sicha may be like eating and drinking, in that it is forbidden because of its nourishing and saturating effect on the body. Hence, whether it provides pleasure or not, sicha is forbidden. That still leaves the question of why sicha is permitted for a cholish embo sakana and for someone with sores on his head. It may be that any sicha performed for medicinal purposes is not part of this equation between sicha and drinking, as the oil is placed on the body specifically to deal with a medical condition and not to replenish moisture. It is also possible that the entire principle of sicha kishtia is rabbinic, and Chazal excluded any sick patient from this more stringent understanding of sicha. Halacha Yud. Yesh mekomot shenagu lahadlik et haner b'lilei yom kippurim, kidei shetiyeh bo boshet panim be'ishto v'lo yavo lidei tashmish hamita. V'yesh mekomot shenagu shelo lahadlik, shema yireh ishto v'tisa chen be'inav v'avo lidei tashmish. V'im chal yom kippurim liyot b'shabbat, chayvin hakol lahadlik b'cho makom, shehadlakat ner b'shabbat chova. The last of the inuyim is tashmish hamita, marital relations. This prohibition led to divergent customs regarding lighting a candle to illuminate the house on the night of Yom Kippur. One custom developed to light a candle in order to prevent tashmish hamita, as husband and wife are more reticent about performing intimate acts when there's light in the room. An opposite custom developed not to light a candle before Yom Kippur, because when a husband sees his wife by the light of the candle, he may be more likely to have a physical desire for her. In any event, if Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbat, then a candle must be lit like before every Shabbat. The custom nowadays, among all Ashkenazim and most Sephardim as well, is to light candles before Yom Kippur with the bracha of Asher Kedushan Mustavitz Yivanu Lahadlik Ner Shal Yom HaKippurim. The Rama also quotes the custom to light a candle for every male member of the household, as well as a Ner Neshama for any deceased parent. As we discussed when we learnt about Havdalah in Hilchot Shabbat Perakaf Tet, the candles lit before Yom Kippur, which last until the end of the fast, are required for Havdalah, in order to be able to make the bracha of Borei Mo'rei Ha'esh on a Ner Sheshavat, a candle which was lit throughout Yom Kippur.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's Perak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.